buy and hold. That's what they're promoting. That's where your true wealth actually grows. So I've always been a buy and hold investor. And in my opinion, buy and hold is your true ticket to your financial independence and freedom for you and your family.
You're listening to 5-Hour Real Estate Week, where you'll learn to consistently buy real estate in only 5 hours a week. So if you're ready to invest in real estate, achieve financial freedom, and own the lifestyle you deserve, even with your job, this is the show for you. Now, here's your host, Mike Butler.
Okay, hello, and welcome to another episode of the 5-Hour Real Estate Week podcast. My name's Mike Butler, and today we're on part three of our 9-part series, Investor Strategies for Success in Today's Rapidly Changing Real Estate Market. So part three, our topic today is income taxes. You got earned, passive, and tax-free. And we're going to go through these bit by bit and with a couple of examples for you to compare and see. Now, one thing that kind of gets under my skin, and it has for years, I'm a buy and hold investor for starters, okay? But I do believe in wholesaling and are occasionally doing a buy, fix, up, and sell to generate chunks of cash. And you can do that to help you achieve and get your 20 nice rentals paid for in 3 to 5 years. So let's take a look at each. So let's look at earned income. So earned income, if you back up and look, take a 30,000 foot view, and you look down at earned income, that's where you do something, you provide a service, or you got to do something in order to get paid. So think of it this way. Think of a used car lot. Okay. So the person involved with the car lot, they go to the wholesale auctions for cars every week and they buy some nice vehicles, whatever kind they are. They take them back to their used car lot, put some lipstick on them, put them out there on the lot and sell them for a higher price. That's what wholesalers do. That's what flippers do. Okay. And so if life happens and something happens and we don't want it to, but we can't stop it, like Forrest Gump used to say, blank happens. Something happens to you health-wise, tragedy, somebody's in a car wreck. You got to take care of your parents, a family member, a loved one, or whatever. And you can't spend that time that you used to do every week going to the wholesale auction to buy stuff. What if you can't move anymore for whatever reason? And it stops. How much income are you going to have? You don't have any income coming automatically because you own it. That's the true definition of an asset, my friend. Because you own this, it puts money in your pocket. That's passive income. And then ultimately, the tax-free income comes by using your self-directed Roth IRA and self-directed accounts, and those are just phenomenal. And everybody, you, your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, your parents, encourage your brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, and friends and enemies alike, encourage them all to get self-directed Roth IRAs. I prefer CAMA plan. I do have equity trust, but CAMA plan, CAMAPLAN.com. Now, earned income. So with earned income, it's kind of like having a W-2 job, but it's even worse. Why is it worse? Because when I was a policeman and I got my paycheck every 2 weeks, I'd look at it and on the bottom of the check, it would break down how much they took out for this, the federal income tax, Social Security, unemployment, whatever it was that they took as city taxes, blah, 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 blah. Okay. And if you've had a job, you're used to seeing that. Now, if you're self-employed and you're a plumber or got your hardware store, you're a small business owner. Well, not only are you going to have to pay the employee side of Social Security, you're going to have to pay the employer side as well. And that's over 7%. So if you're self-employed, well, then in addition to the regular income tax, you're going to have to pay the Social Security tax, which is 15%. Plus, if you've got any other city occupational taxes, they're going to get their fingers in it. And if you have state income tax, some states do, some don't. Well, then that can push you well up over 50% when it comes to earned income. So that's another reason I like passive. So let's break this down when it comes to rental properties, okay? And I want to give you, well, not necessarily rental properties, but let's take investment properties. And the simplest way I've discovered to share this idea so you can wrap your head around it is let's just take a single family house. And it was several years ago, probably a little more than several years ago, where my good friend Jay Long, who's a real estate investor, broker, super sharp guy, his training being a bird dog for some super sharp, successful investors. And so he was used to buying and wholesaling, the ultimate wholesaler. He was wholesaling, over 100 deals a year. and he could just do that blindfolded with one arm behind his back. Well, he had bought a house in a good rental area, and he asked me, he says, Mike, I don't know what to do with this house. I bought it, I made it, it's rent ready or retail ready, and should I go ahead and just sell this one and keep the cash, or should I keep it as a rental? And I said, okay, Jay, let's run the numbers. And that's what we're going to do right now. Okay, so if you have a notebook handy, or you got your cell phone, you got a little stick that you can write with, or you can use your finger, or if you're fast with them thumbs, I want you to jot these numbers down so you can see the comparisons. So what I'm going to do is take a single family house that's rent ready or retail ready, and we're going to show you the numbers on that when you sell it retail. And then we're going to take that very same house and let's run the numbers on it if you're going to make it a rental property and you're going to do a cash out refi. And I want you to compare the two when we get done and see which one is best for you. So let's get started. So we got a 3-bedroom single family house that's been owner occupied, and Jay got to buy this thing for $30,000. And I stress owner occupied because that means it's not beat up. It just needed some lipstick on it, change out carpet, paint, what have you. So he bought it for $30,000, and with his closing costs, they put him at $31,000, and he put $3,000 in it in rehab, which was baby rehab, to make it rent-ready or retail-ready. So his all-in price there is $34,000. So let's run the numbers on both the retail and also making it a buy and hold. So let's start with retail first. So the retail first, this thing, retail, the ARV on it, retail sale price would be $90,000. Well, if you got agents involved, that can be up to 6%. Now, Jay's a broker himself, but let's do 6% because we want to prepare for the worst, hope for the best. So $5,400, you're going to take off the $90,000 just for commissions. Now, most home buyers, they get a home inspection, don't they? Well, have you ever seen somebody crawl around the house for 3 or 4 hours? They get paid $400 or $500 and they come back and say, man, this thing's in tip top shape. Everything is wonderful. Not one time are they going to come back and say that. They're going to find some stuff. What kind of stuff? I don't know. I don't like them because I had one house I was going to retail, put a brand new HVAC in it, and they blew the motherboard up on it doing their goofy inspection. I made them pay for it. But anyway, so you can tell I got an attitude there. I'm sorry. But the bottom line is, odds are they're going to get a home inspection. Who knows what they're going to come up with on repairs that need to be done. Also, the next one, their contract. Almost all of them, if you got a home buyer that's getting a loan to buy it, is going to be contingent upon them getting financing. So they can tie up your property for up to 2 months, say. And if the bank or somebody doesn't approve their loan, well, then they can say, adios, no harm, no foul, and you're out your holding costs there. I don't like that. And they take up to 60 days to close. So that means you got that puppy sitting there vacant in a vacant rental property, single family. I factor in a minimum of $1,000 a month that it's going to cost me, that it's going to cost you. Why? Because you got taxes to pay, you got insurance to pay, you got lawn service, you got utilities, and I'm not even counting any interest payments that you may have if you've got some kind of other funding to acquire the property. So let's see what we got so far. So you got $90,000 for the sale price minus $5,400 in commissions minus the $2,000 for your holding cost. And who knows how much for repairs, that leaves you 82.6 out of the 90. 82,600 is what we're working with now. Now you're going to subtract the total dollars invested. Now Jay had bought this for 31,000 with 3,000 rehab. So it's $34,000 we're going to take away from the 82.6 because that's how much he has total invested. And now that leaves us with the 82.6 minus the 34. That leaves a gross profit of $48,600. And that's what you think when you run the numbers, right? We're not done yet because Uncle Sam's coming into play here, the IRS. So this is going to be earned income. So we're going to take the earned income tax rate with the IRS. Okay. Plus you got to do the Social Security, both sides, 15%. And then in Kentucky, we got a 6% state income tax. So we're looking at 49%. And depending on where you live, it could easily be over 50%. So your income tax, get this, you got a retail profit of $48,600, but now you're going to have to pay $23,814 in income tax, which your real true leftover cash profit is only $22,746. And then here's the ugly part. So once you sold it, you have zero more benefits. It is over, sister. No more benefits. That's the retail side. So the number to remember here is $22,746 minus any of those unknown repairs this home inspector might come out, and you got to negotiate that. All right. So let's take a look at making it a rental property, and let's look at getting a loan on it to get our long-term fixed rate financing in place. So that's buy and hold, and let's do a cash out refi once you get it rent ready and you got a tenant at it. So let's take a look at this. Same house, same purchase price, same rehab money. So he's got 31 with closing costs, 3,000 in rehab. That puts him at $34,000. Aha. But as soon as he got it rent ready, put a tenant in there. So now he's going to have 2 months of rental income. That's 800 bucks a month. I'm just trying to be realistic here, but you can get a lot more. But let's just do 800 bucks times 2 months. That's $1,600. So now he's all in. He just reimbursed himself $1,600 out of the 34. So now his all-in price is $32,400. So the appraisal that comes in at $90,000, just like he was going to sell it for $90,000. The appraisal comes in at $90,000, but the banks will not give you a $90,000 loan. Odds are you're going to get an 80% LTV. So what does that mean? If the appraisal is for $90,000, they're only going to let you borrow 80% of the $90,000, and the amount borrowed is $72,000. So that's your number. So you're going to have closing costs and lender fees, and let's just say that's $2,000. Hard to get around that if you're going to get money for 30 years fixed, okay? So that means tax-free cash to you is $70,000. $70,000 tax-free cash. Huh. So subtract your all-in price. Remember, you got 2 months of rent, so it's not $34,000. You take 34 minus the $1,600 in rent, and it leaves you 32,4. So let's subtract your all-in number, reimburse yourself the $32,400 you're still out for the total dollars you've invested in this property. So if you take $70,000, the tax-free cash to you, minus the $32,4, the tax-free leftover cash for you to invest with is $37,600. And get this, with more benefits to you, you're going to get the cash flow every month, and the rents are going to go up as things happen in life. And the system that I use for landlording, you're going to average 110% of your rents every single month. Plus, there's another big benefit for you called depreciation. And because you own this, you get to depreciate certain things, and that lowers your taxable income. It is a phenomenal benefit. So let's take a look at the quick comparison here. If Jay was to take this house and just sell it, he's going to have a real true ballpark $22,746 retail profit minus those unknown repairs from the home inspection. If you're going to make it buy and hold and do a cash out refi, after he reimburses himself all of the money that he put in it to buy it and fix it up, the $32,400, he's going to have $37,600 left over, tax-free cash, okay, that he can use to invest in more rental properties or more buy and holds, and to help you get there, get those 20 nights rental houses paid for faster. That's exactly what I did. Now, a lot of folks might say, well, it's a Burr method. Well, back then, the Burr method slang wasn't in play, but that's what I did back then. It just wasn't called Burr. So which is better for you? Think about that. It's amazing how the expert trainers, up until this market started changing, the only thing that they were super excited about is to get that magic pill to get fast cash right now, overnight. And you could do that with wholesaling. You could do that with flips. Uh-oh, now they're starting to change their tune a little bit. Interest rates are going up. It's harder. You can't buy as much house as you used to. So the prices are starting to plateau, or you might even see, well, we're going to see them come down a little bit because it's going to switch from not enough houses for sale and too many buyers. And it's going to grow back to too many houses for sale and not enough buyers. So it's amazing how these expert trainers who previously promoted the flips and wholesaling, they're not promoting that anymore. Guess what they're promoting now? Buy and hold. Buy and hold. That's what they're promoting. That's where your true wealth actually grows. So I've always been a buy and hold investor. And in my opinion, buy and hold is your true ticket to your financial independence and freedom for you and your family. So that wraps up this session. We'll get on to the next one. Adios.
glad you joined us for another episode of 5-Hour Real Estate Week. The best thing you can do now is put this information to action. To help you get started, Mike created a free resource for you called How to Buy 50 Houses a Year, Even with Your Job. Download it now by going to mikebutler.com/50houses. And we'll see you on the next episode.